Today we're going to be looking at 1 Samuel chapter 3, the first 10 verses. It's a story that maybe you don't know from the beginning, but Samuel's mother, for a period of time, was not able to have children. And she prayed that if God would give her a child, that she would give it over to the Lord. Once Samuel was weaned, probably about age 3, his mother and father brought him to the temple and gave him to Eli to raise. So from about the age of 3 or so, Samuel has lived in the temple and has been raised by the high priest. So I want you to be aware of that and just know that this young man has a different kind of life than we do. Listen to these words. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was, when the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." I know a number of you have raised kids. You put them to bed, and about 15 minutes after you put them to bed, you know what happens, right? Some of you are snickering already. You know exactly what happens. "I need a drink of water." We talked about this a little bit in Sunday school because this happened to be our same passage that we talked about in Sunday school in a different way than what I'm going to talk about in the sermon. When I was growing up and my parents put me to bed, all they had to do was make popcorn and I could appear, poof, just like that. "Can I have a bowl?" "Yes, you have a little bit, and after you finish the bowl, you go to bed and don't get out of bed again." And maybe some of you have had that experience. I wonder about Eli. An old man that can barely see. A young child's been given to him to raise. I'm not sure that's what Eli signed up for when he became a priest in the temple. Samuel hears something. He doesn't know what for sure. This scripture tells us a couple of different things that are going on. But one of the things I want you to notice in the midst of this story is this story teaches of the great need for all generations to work together. It teaches about the great need for all generations to work together. You see, Samuel needed Eli, right? Eli was his mentor. Eli was the one that was helping to raise him and to teach him about what it meant. I also want you to notice that Samuel is sleeping in the sanctuary. Must be biblical, right? Okay, you'll get that in a few minutes when you wake up. You got it? You got it. Okay. Eric got it. It's biblical. So when they talk to you about it, just look right here. But when God calls, you got to wake up, though. Okay? Samuel's sleeping in the sanctuary. Eli's sleeping in another room. But they both need each other, don't they? They both need each other. Because Samuel doesn't know what's going on. He's not aware. He doesn't fully understand what's happening. And guess what? Eli doesn't fully understand either. He doesn't totally get it. He doesn't totally know what's going on either. Here's one of the reasons why, though. The very first verse tells us one of the reasons why Eli doesn't get it. God's message to people was very rare in that day. God's message to people was very rare in that day. It was tough. It says not only the message was rare, but the visions were rare. Eli hadn't been hearing from God lately. Do I think God speaks today? That's a good question, isn't it? God's message was very, very rare back then. Sometimes it seems rare for us too, doesn't it? Sometimes we may be like Samuel and not know what we're listening to. Or sometimes we may be like Eli and haven't heard God's voice in quite a while. That we really wonder, is it even possible anymore? You see, many say that God's word is rare today. Many say that God's word is rare today. I've heard many people tell me, well, how do I know that it's God speaking and not just something in my own mind? Many say that God's word is rare today. It's tough, isn't it? We just wonder, how do we know? And we need confirmation, and we need deeper understanding. How do I know it's God that's speaking? How can I know God speaks? That's a tough question, isn't it? You see, Samuel wasn't sure what was going on, and neither was Eli. Eli wasn't fully aware of what was happening because it takes him three times before he knows what's going on. And then it's kind of like for Eli, a light bulb goes on. He says, I know what's happening to you. I know what's going on. I know what you need to do. And this is where I say that both generations need each other. This is where I say that both generations need each other. How can I know that God speaks? And see, once Eli gets it and realizes what's happening, then he was able to help Samuel. But see, Eli has to get it first. Eli, it's almost like a light bulb goes off for him, and he's like, oh, I know what's happening. I know what's going on. And Eli was able to help Samuel then by teaching him and by sharing with him. Will someone teach you? Don David, can you come up here and join me? We're just going to sit down right here. I'm going to let you hold that in case you need it. No? You don't think you'll need it today? Okay. You know, John David's asked some very important questions. Does God speak still today? Does God speak still today? John David, I want to tell you that God still speaks in dynamic and powerful ways. If God had not spoken to me, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't have had an opportunity to meet this wonderful young man. And as we've gotten to know each other and talk some, we found out we have some common interests. Amen? Yeah? Now, I told Mary Catherine that we weren't going to talk about some of the common interests, but maybe I didn't get this right. John David and I have been talking, and we found out that both of us like video games. Huh? Cats, yes. Cats, too. I forgot about the cats part. We found out as we've talked together that we have got some more common interests than we thought we did. Now, don't tell John David, but I've been playing video games for 42 years. And I'm still playing video games. And some of the newest video games I'm still playing because someone else in our congregation got me attracted to a very new game that's only been put out in the past year. And I've spent since Wednesday playing it. My wife probably wonders where I am. But we found out that there's some things that we're interested in together that we can share about. Does God still speak today? Yes, God still speaks today. Clearly and profoundly, God still speaks to us. And here's something else I've learned about John David. I didn't tell him I was going to do this part. I believe that John David is a man touched by God already. He's a young man that God has already spoken to and has already talked to him deep in his heart. And we really need to wonder about how do we know that it's God who's spoken? How do we know that it's God who's spoken to us? And what I want to tell you, John David, is there's five principal ways that I know that God's spoken to me. One is when I read in the Scriptures, and something jumps off the page in the Scriptures. I mean, the words just seem to lift up from the page. And I notice them differently than I've ever noticed words before. That's God speaking. When I'm in prayer and God is talking to me, there's something about a warmness in my heart. John Wesley talked about there was a warmness that happened in his heart as he attended service one night. He was already working as a priest for the Anglican Church. But he said something happened in prayer, in that prayer meeting that he went to, and there was a warmness that overcame him and overwhelmed him. That's God speaking. Sometimes God might be speaking through other people. That's why Eli needed Samuel. Eli, the older guy who could barely see anymore, needed the younger person, if nothing else, to help him see, I'm sure. But that night, Samuel's going to be given a message that's for Eli. And by the way, it's not a good message. I would encourage you to go read the rest of chapter 3 and find out. This wasn't an encouraging message. But I have found when other people come to me and say something that matches up with prayer and with Scripture, that I've already heard God speak. And they don't know that God spoke in these other areas. So Scriptures help me. Prayer helps me. Other people help me. Sometimes there's circumstances. Things just seem to happen. And I'm kind of the nature that if I could borrow all y'all's dictionaries, I would cut the word circumstance out of your dictionary and throw it away. Because I think sometimes God causes these things to happen around us to make us more aware, to make us understand, so that when I have read something in Scripture and all of a sudden something just happens around me that matches up with what I read in Scripture, wow, God must be speaking to me. Deanne and I made a commitment to go off to seminary. By the way, in case you were wondering, she's never finished her degree. She's read some of the books. She didn't attend any of the classes. And she corrected all the papers, but she didn't write her own papers. So her degree's not finished. So some of you, please talk to her about finishing her seminary degree. There was a circumstance that happened in our life. We made a commitment to say we're going to go off to seminary and God's calling me into the ministry. And guess what I got in the mail? Now, please understand me clearly. If you make a commitment to go into the ministry, I'm not going to tell you you're getting this in the mail this week. Okay? We got a check for $12,000 in the mail that we didn't know we were owed. Had no idea it was back pay from a contract that I had worked on, that I did not know was owed to me. Guess what put food on the table and paid for seminary? A circumstance that happened around us that helped us to know that this is what God was about. The other way, John David, is sometimes nature tells me. You know, sometimes I was teaching a Bible study at home, and the cat had come up and crawled in my lap and just curled up. Just as comfortable as could be, didn't bother me at all. And one of the other gentlemen there noticed something. He said, "You know what? I wish I could be as comfortable as that cat, just resting in God's lap, the way that cat is getting comfort from resting in your lap." Nature teaches us. All of that teaches us. You see, we can know that God speaks, and we can be assured that God speaks. Now let's see, the third question you asked was, will I teach you? Who's going to teach me? Can I make a promise to you today? The promise I want to make to you, John David, is I'm willing to teach you. I'm willing to be your Eli if you're willing to be my Samuel. I'm willing to share with you what I know about how God speaks and how God shares and how God talks to us. But you've got to be willing to do something for me. When God speaks to you, you got to tell me about it. Will you? Yeah. You see, we need each other. We need each other. I can't live this life without John David. Now, we do have some other common things that we like, too. There's some people that we like to bug, right? Yeah? Okay. We won't hand out their names. Don't look over there. You see, I've already learned more about God from John David just in the little bit of time that I've known him. We found some common things that we can talk about. And as we talk about those common things, we found out that there's something there that God's putting together between us. I think the world of this young man. I think the world of this young man. And what I want to let you know is that all the generations need each other. Just because they're a bunch of old people like me with a big white beard, can I tell them about when I came to the ER to see you one time? Yeah? Came in, John David was in the ER. And I came walking in with his dad. And he looked at his dad and he said, "Where'd you find the homeless guy?" And you know what I knew right then? I knew right then that this was going to be a special relationship. Because my beard was a little bit longer than it is now. I had jeans on. What? How long was it? It wasn't that long. I knew this was going to be a special relationship. And I really, truly believe, and I tell you this, God has God's hand on John David already. Do you believe that? Yeah. He can tell you some deep things about God already. And he's only 15, right? 14. Did you have to do that with your hand to make sure you got it right? Okay. You want me to tell you how old I am? I don't have enough fingers. And what I'm telling you is that we need to develop relationships like this. That the younger folks need to spend time getting to know the older folks. The older folks need to spend time getting to know the younger folks. And I didn't tell them the other special thing. The other special thing that I have taught John David that only works at church, right? It doesn't work at home. It only works at church. Yeah. You always eat dessert first. Because you don't want to make sure you got enough room for dessert before you eat the main meal, right? And since I don't normally eat dessert, John David gets two. You've been missing out on that? Yeah, okay. We'll have to fix that on Wednesday night. How's that? Okay. Here's what I want to ask you. Are you willing to do this? Are you willing to do what you've witnessed between us? Are you willing to help somebody else out? Are you willing to listen to the questions they have? Because there's no bad question. I'm convinced of that. There's no bad question. And then are you willing to make a commitment to somebody? Today in front of you, I make a commitment to John David that I'm going to do everything I can to teach him how to hear God better. I promise you that. And he's already made a commitment to me that when he hears God speak, he's going to talk to me about it. And he's going to tell me what God says, good, bad, or indifferent. Are you willing to do the same thing? That's what this country needs. That's what this community needs. That's what this church needs. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you so much for what you've done for us. I want to thank you especially for John David this morning, his willingness. For us to be open about just the fun that we've had and the things that we've learned already. Father, I pray that all of us might develop relationships just like Eli and Samuel. No matter which side of the equation we're on, that we might open our lives and that we might be willing to share with one another. And that we might be able to see the God-given gifts and skills in the midst of people's lives, whether they're old or whether they're young. And that we might be able to hear your voice even more clearly, Father, no matter who says they hear it and how they speak. Lord, guide us. Guide us to hear your voice. Guide us to help others hear it better. Guide us that we might truly be people who bring glory and honor to you by the relationships that we have to grow this church